soldiers didn't care. They didn't care one whit. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you're just joining us, we're taking this week, Easter week, looking at some of the people that stood on Golgotha that day. And if you were listening yesterday, and some of you weren't, and I know your names, we looked at Simon, the man who carried Jesus' cross, moving from being a bystander to being involved in the most important event in the history of the world. Let me show you somebody else. Let's look at the soldiers. If you're looking for a text, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but turn to Matthew 27, 34 through 35. They had just nailed the Son of God to cross beams, and now they're throwing dice at the foot of the cross, going about their job as if nothing happened. It's not only inappropriate, it is scandalous. You know something, the world's like that. Not that people don't think about Jesus. They don't think about anything. We used to do an arts program in our church, and we used to do drama back in the days, the olden days when I was a pastor. And we had some people that were semi-professional, some professional actresses and actors, and we did secular drama in our church. And we invited all of our friends, and I always make a little bit of speech at the beginning where Jesus would get mentioned. When we did Fiddler on the Roof, I said, we invited all of our Jewish friends. And at the beginning, I said, I just want you to know why we do this. Why a bunch of goyim would be up here acting like they were Jews. The reason we're doing that is we wanted to say thank you to those of you who are Jewish. You gave us our Messiah. You gave us almost all of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments. And sometimes we haven't treated you very well, and we've said really bad things about you. And so as poorly as we do it, we're going to act like Jews tonight, and we're going to do it with a heart that's full of thankfulness for you and what you guys have given us, and with an apology for a lot of people who said some bad things about you. And then they did Fiddler on the Roof, and it was so, so good. But sometimes I would get criticism, not from the people who came to the drama, but from people who were members of the church. You know, that doesn't sound very religious to me. You're certainly not very godly. How can you use a place of worship for ungodly drama? That drives me crazy, man. Drives me nuts. Because that's what Jesus would do. Look, if you don't like the bait, you don't have to eat it. It's for the fish. But at any rate, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I used to say, look, the problem in our culture isn't that people don't think about Jesus. They don't think about anything. And if we can do drama in this church that causes people to think, if they start thinking, who knows what's going to happen? Listen, if you're not a believer, the most dangerous thing that can happen to you isn't your paganism or your sin. It's your... If you want to stay where you are, it's daring to think. You've got to be careful about the movies you go to. You better not go into a library. You might pick up a book that'll make you think. And you better pick your friends really, really carefully, because one of them might have the real thing, and you'd be in serious trouble. And listen, by the way, since I'm giving advice, don't go to funerals. Man, that's scary stuff. Sometimes they leave the casket open, and it's hard to avoid. You got that corpse there, you look out the window, you got to think about something else, because you see the statistic is one out of one, and you're going to be in trouble. So if you're a pagan and you want to stay that way, you now owe me for the advice that I just gave you. But the most dangerous thing you can do is to think. The problem in our culture isn't that people don't think about Jesus. They don't think about anything. And that's what was happening at the foot of the cross. Another dead man, another execution, another job well done. Now let's play cards. Pass out the stogies. We got to stay here until he's dead, so let's make the best of it. The whole world's like that. People don't have real feelings. Only the conjured feelings from television, pills, and booze. All of that's a great tragedy. That's why I get upset sometimes when Christians get upset with pagans. You know, we want to yell and scream and tell them they're bad. I have a friend who says they're lost for all of eternity. And we know that when they die, they're not going to have any fun. And we want to take any fun they're having now away from them before they die. Let me tell you something. I'm very conservative politically, but I'm not beating pagans over the head. Because sometimes when I look at them, I say, Jesus, give me the eyes that you have. Teach me to weep where you weep. Teach me to be compassionate where you're compassionate. And as a matter of fact, when I look through his eyes, it's so incredibly sad, those soldiers at the foot of the cross, smoking stogies, playing cards, in the midst of the most important event in the world. And then once in a while, though, a light goes on. So when the centurion, this is Matthew 27:54, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I don't know about you, but when I don't do it anymore. When I first became a Christian, I looked around at people that didn't even have the foggiest idea what it was all about. I wanted to shake them. I wanted to run up to them and say, are you an idiot? I've got some wonderful news. You know, they don't take kindly to that sort of thing. I learned that pretty quickly. But I did it on buses and trains and airplanes, and I've learned some techniques that are a little bit better than before, and I still do it. But when I look at them at the foot of the cross playing cards and smoking stogies, I just feel so sad sometimes. So sad, I got to keep on moving. Now, let me show you somebody else that you ought to notice around the cross. I want you to notice the robbers. One on either side of the cross. This is Matthew 27:44. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now, these thieves risked and failed. They lived a life of crime, and they got caught. These thieves were dying if they joined the crowd in reviling and mocking Jesus. Why? Simply because people die the way they've lived. I was a pastor for a lot of years. And I have stood by more deathbeds than you and held the hands of people as they went into eternity more times than I can even remember. I cleaned up after more suicides than I can even remember anymore. I want you to know that I'm familiar with death. I'm not happy about it, but I'm familiar with it. You're going to die. Going to heaven on, that's the good news. The bad news is you're going on Thursday. I know about death, and let me tell you something that I learned after a whole lot of years. I learned that people die the way they live. Everybody talks about deathbed conversions, and that happens, and I've seen it happen on a number of occasions. I think it happened with my father 3 months before he died, but it's so rare. I've had guys say to me, listen, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I didn't care anything about God when I lived, and it was cold in a hot place where I'm going to pretend to care about God as I die. And I'm going to say, no, 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 don't do that. He'll love you. He won't be angry. Go to him. He won't say, why didn't you come earlier? God's not a child abuser. He doesn't do that. They don't listen. Because people die the way they live. Now, we learned from one of the other Gospels that there was more to it than that. Every once in a while, the truth breaks through. Over in Luke, in his account of the crucifixion, one of the thieves mocked Jesus, but then changed his mind. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember what Jesus said? Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Two thieves on crosses. One on the right and one on the left of Jesus. My friend Rusty Anderson says that one is included that you may not despair, no matter how bad you are. The other is included that you may not presume on the grace of God. So it's interesting that in this awesome mega tragedy that's happening on Golgotha that day. You've got some people who are really bad. And one would think that neither of them had any hope. At least the man in the center hadn't done anything wrong. At least he was pure. At least he was righteous. At least there was hope for him. But those thieves, they're bad. They're really bad. Listen to me. You are too. There's a doctrine we Presbyterians believe. We have a name for it. Everybody else who reads the Bible believes it too. It's called radical and pervasive depravity. Some of you have been listening to what I said, and you said, yeah, but you don't understand how bad I really am. I mean, I didn't just tell a white lie. I did some really bad stuff. Listen, you won't surprise God, and you certainly, well, you won't surprise me either. Listen, we're not good people. That's the reason for the cross. If we were as good as some people pretend they are, God would have sent a book of rules and said, this is how you're supposed to do it. He wouldn't have sent his son. You can say, you can see how big the problem is by the solution that is needful to fix it. That's what happened on the cross. So, be like the thief who had no hope but Jesus. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're a part of our Key Life Tape family, or if you're not and you want to be, let me tell you how it works. Once you give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and you ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes, we'll do it for you. Thereafter, every 7 or 8 weeks, you'll start receiving a tape. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us how, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible at the seminary, Reformed Seminary, at the Billy Graham Training Center, the Lake Berkeley Fellowship. We take those and send them out to our family, and they're absolutely free, and I really mean that. Don't you dare not ask to be a part of this because you can't afford a contribution. But if you can help us, you help a lot of people, and I promise we'll squeeze every dime. You can charge the contribution on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size when you request it as my thank you, I'll send the cassette teaching The Scandal of the Cross, the irrational reaction to Jesus on the cross. Hey, listen, I gotta go. Give us a call letters at this station when you arrive or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.